Well, Steve, will you open us up in prayer tonight?
Okay. Father God, we thank you again, O Lord, for just watching over us through another day. Lord, allowing us to be able to just come to this present time. We ask you to have mercy and forgive us of our sins, whether they be in thought, word, or deed, Lord. And just continue, Lord, just be patient with us, Lord. As we know, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you loved us because you gave your Son for us. We thank you for this meeting tonight, Lord. We pray, Lord, for Minister Brian, Lord, and for him in teaching this ministry, Lord. We pray, Lord, that others that may call in, Lord, will come in and just receive a blessing for their marriage also, Lord. We know, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you are the one that created the marriage. So, Lord, we just know that it's good. We ask you, Lord, to bless our pastor, bless Tabernacle, bless all of our members. Bless those that may join us that are not members of Tabernacle, that they may be able to, Lord, just join in, Lord, and just learn more about how they should treat one another, Lord. Lord, we love you. We say hallelujah to you, and we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, let me give a few announcements. If you ever need to call me, you can always reach me on my cell phone, and that number is 678-245-4336. That's 678-245-4336. And in case you don't know, my name is Brian Ray. And each week on Thursday, I always send out a reminder for the call. And so if you'd like to be put on our reminder list, just send me a text to that cell number I just gave with your first and last name, and I'll be glad to add you to our reminder list. And each week we record the call, so if you ever miss one of the calls, you can always go to our website and listen to a recording of the call. And the website is www.gototabnow.com. That's www.gototabnow.com. And the book that we've been using on the call is called Communication, Key to Your Marriage, The Secret to True Happiness by H. Norman Wright. So again, it's called Communication, Key to Your Marriage, The Secret to True Happiness by H. Norman Wright. And we're using the September 24th, 2012 edition. So if you go to the store to buy it or look at it online, sometimes you'll see more than one edition listed. But if you want to have the same edition we're following, you'll get the September 24th, 2012. All right, well, let's go ahead and get started with the call. Now, I thought tonight's call, the topic for tonight is a pretty interesting one, and we've talked about this a little bit before. But we're going to be starting on Chapter 5. And Chapter 5, the title for Chapter 5 is Speak Your Spouse's Language. So speak your spouse's language. And so we're going to start in, now, here's the concept. I want to get y'all feedback on this a little bit. He says, here's the concept you need to grasp. You are married to a foreigner. He says, you're married to a foreigner. Now, let me ask y'all, have you ever thought about it like that, that you were married to a foreigner?
No.
No.
Yeah, because, see, Steve, what country were you born in?
America.
And what about you, Gay?
America.
Oh, you born in America, too. Okay. But the concept that he's going to be looking at is that even though you're both born in America, you're born to a foreigner. Mm-hmm. And so let's look at what he says. Look on page, if you have your book, look on page 73. And notice how he starts off on page 73. He's going to talk about this concept of how you're married to a foreigner. But I say, okay, that's true. We're married to a foreigner. Now, notice what he's going to talk about, the attitudes you can have. He says, have you ever traveled in a foreign country? There are two types of travelers, the colonizer and the immigrant. The colonizer wants to visit another country but sees it from his own perspective instead of experiencing it from the inhabitant's point of view. As he enters the country, he looks for signs in his own language and seeks out people who speak his own tongue. He endeavors to find the familiar and fails to venture into the uncharted territory. He doesn't branch out and learn any words in the foreign language. And then he goes on to say, our traveler ends up creating an unpleasant experience for himself and can't wait to get back to familiar territory. He returns home with the attitude that people in that country aren't very friendly. They weren't interested or helpful. If they had been, they would have provided messages in his language and learned his language in order to help tourism. So that's a pretty strange attitude, wouldn't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's in somebody else's country, but he wants them to provide everything in his language.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's happening in this country.
Yeah. All right, and so let me go on to say, read. He says, quite often, colonizing nations do this. He said, and I skipped some in the book, and so you have to go back and read the rest of what I skipped in the book. It says, quite often colonizing nations do this. They transport their own language, customs, and monetary systems to another country and force the people there to become like them. It doesn't work there, and this approach doesn't work in marriage. It says, but some spouses are colonizers. They expect the other person to learn their language, but put forth little effort to learn the other's language.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he's going to be talking about tonight, what we're going to be looking at tonight, and what he's talking about in the book is that, you know, even though we're born in the same country, born from the same country, maybe the same part of the country, same race, but even though all those things are true, we still speak a foreign language to that person. And so that's the concept we're going to be looking at. And so what he wants us to see here is, are you going to be like this colonizer? You know, the colonizer, when he goes to that country, he doesn't try to learn that other country's language. He wants them to put forth all the effort to learn his language and to make things more convenient for him and make things easier for him by doing everything in the language that he knows.
Right.
So he wants them to put forth that effort, but he doesn't put forth any effort at all
mm-hmm.
to try to learn their language and to try to learn their customs. And so what we're going to be looking at tonight is he's going to be showing how in marriage we do the same thing, or we can do the same thing because we speak different languages. You know, are you going to be like that colonizer in the sense that you don't try to learn your spouse's language and customs, or are you going to put forth that effort?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he's going to be talking about. Now, look, if you look at page 75, and what I want to do, because he gave an example of a couple that, and I thought he illustrated it real well with this example of this couple. So what I want to do is just read through what he had to say about this couple. So, and it starts on page 75. So we're going to read through what he had to say, but we're going to kind of talk about it as we read through it. And I've skipped over some stuff. He says, perhaps I can best illustrate the impact Tony and Mary had on me in this way. Now, if you go back and read the book, and you'll see where he talked about Tony and Mary. That was a pretty interesting counseling session he had with them. But he says, so he's going to illustrate what he learned from Tony and Mary. These were the people, that was the couple that helped him learn this concept. So go back and read that. It says, a young couple came in for premarital counseling. After the preliminary introductions, Sue, Mark, and I plunged into our topic. This young, alert, and eager couple wanted to build a marriage that would last and that would be fulfilling for both of them. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you're going into marriage, you want it to last. And he says, about halfway into the session, I looked at them and said, I think it's about time to let you know something before we go any further. I paused, noticing that I definitely had their attention. I'd be remiss if I didn't share this with you early in our time together. The person seated across from you, the one you're about to marry, look at that individual right now, please. I don't know. For the people on the call, I know most of us on the call, we're married, but if possible, look at your spouse. I don't know if you're in the same room or not, but look at your spouse right now. As he said, look at them right now, please. And he said, they turned and looked at each other with puzzled expressions. I just want you to remember, I continued, I just want you to remember that person is a foreigner. You're going to be marrying a foreigner. I paused, let my statement sink in. They looked at me and then back at each other. Sue raised her eyebrows and she faced Mark. Mark turned to me and asked, what are you talking about, marrying a foreigner? I replied, just what I said. Mark looked back at Sue and then at me. What do you mean? Now listen to what he says. He says, we're both from this country. In fact, we couldn't be better matched or more alike. We both were born and raised in California. We're both white. Our parents were born and raised in this country. And so were their parents. How are we foreigners? Now, for how we most time we talk about foreigners, from just that description he gave, would you think of these two couples that they would be foreigners to each other?
No.
No, because they're both from America, both from California, but their ethnicity is both white, you know, so they said their parents were raised in this country, their grandparents were raised in this country, so, you know, they got a lot of things in common, don't they? And so from a perspective of nationality, they're born right here in America. But notice what he says. I said, well, this comes as a shock to most couples. And I do share this with almost everyone I work with. You and Sue are similar, but you were raised in different homes with different parents, siblings, and experiences, and, in effect, different cultures. You may eat the same types of food, but they were prepared differently. You have different customs, different rituals in your families, different beliefs and values, and you each learn a different language. And you each learned a different language. You even have a different dictionary. I'm going to just stop right there. He says you even have a different dictionary. Now, let me say, just let's see, for you, Steve and Gay. Now, would you say that would be true about y'all, what he said here? He said, let me go back. He said, were y'all raised in the same home?
No.
All right, so you raised different homes, so you had different parents, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right, you had different siblings
mm-hmm.
and experienced some different things.
Yeah.
And then he even talked about, he says, in effect, different cultures. He says you may even eat the same types of food, but they were prepared differently. You know,
right.
Maybe one mama put more salt on it and another mama put more pepper or something. And they both were frying chicken, but they just did it a little different. And so with that being the case, you probably got a little bit different, say like the illustration I'm using with chicken, you probably like your chicken to taste a little bit different because you grew up with your mama cooking it one way,
mm-hmm.
and then the other person grew up with their mama cooking it a different way. And so he went on, he says, and each of you learned a different language. He said you even have different dictionaries. You know, we've talked about this before. You use the same words, but what you mean by those words can be slightly different. Even though you're both saying the same English word, your meaning behind the word could be different.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So he said, if you want to have the kind of marriage you describe to me, your biggest task is going to be to learn about the other person's culture,
mm-hmm.
to develop the flexibility to be comfortable with either set of customs, and above all, to learn your partner's language so that you can speak it. And so is that making sense what he's saying there, how even though you're both American, both raised in the same outward culture, but yet, at the same time, you're very different.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because you have a whole set of life experiences that are different from each other,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know about y'all, but when y'all first got married, had you ever thought about anything like that? That we speak
nope.
two different languages?
No.
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 No,
I know. I know. I never thought anything like that. And but I think as we go through this, you're gonna see how it makes sense. And I'm sure you've already experienced some of the things he's gonna talk about. How we speak these different languages. He said, Mark, I asked, do you and your family understand one another when you talk? Do you see what each person is saying? Sure, he replied, we make sense to each other. So, of course, they make sense to each other. Why? Because they're from the same culture, right? And so they're familiar with all the things. They're familiar with each other's culture. He says, then I asked Sue, do you and your family understand each other? When you share together, are you in touch with each other? Yes, Sue said. We always are. I get along especially with Mom. Dad, I must admit, doesn't always say too much. I wish he would. He's brief and to the point and gives very little details. At times, I feel we have to drag information out of him. When he does talk, he sounds like a newspaper reporter. Given a condensed version of the daily news. He just gives the facts. I don't know when I've heard Dad share his feelings. That frustrated Mom over the years, too. But Mom and I really click. And let me just stop there. Why do you think Sue, she talks about talking with her father and talking with her mother, and she clicked better with her mother. Why do you think she clicked better with her mother than her father?
She probably has some of the same traits her mother has. They like talking and sharing, and the dad doesn't.
Okay, right. And then the other thing, notice how she talked about how when the dad talked, she said he's brief and to the point and gives very little details. And then she said, I don't know when I've ever heard Dad share his feelings. So not only is he short and to the point, but he doesn't share his feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And so what she's seeing is, you know, so basically following the concept we're going, her and Mom, you would say they probably spoke the same language, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But when it came to Dad, her and Dad, Sue and Dad, didn't speak the same language. And
she already learned to tune him out, sound like.
What, say that again?
Sound like the daughter has learned from her mom. She's tuning him out, too.
Oh, okay, tuning him out. Because they're speaking these different languages.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though they're saying this, even though their words sound the same, but, you know, it's the way they say their words, maybe their inflections and everything is different. It says, and so she just connects better with Mom as she talks. It says, they look at each other. It says, they look at each other and then back at me. I waited and then said, it's something to think about. I turned to Mark and speeding up my rate of speech. Now, notice how he said he speeds up his rate of speech when he talks to Mark. He said, I speeding up my rate of speech, asked, by the way, Mark, are you and I communicating? Do you see what I'm talking about? Do we see eye to eye? Do we understand each other? He said, yeah, you seem to see what I'm talking about. I'm getting a picture of the whole discussion of marrying a foreigner. I wonder sometimes if I need a passport to marry Sue. So see, he's already kind of picked up on that concept, hadn't he?
Uh-huh.
But he hadn't thought about it in terms of we speak two different languages.
Right.
But he had been picking up on how they communicate differently.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, like, say in y'all's case, would you say that even though you didn't think of yourself as marrying a foreigner, had you been noticing how, well, we kind of communicate a little different when we talk? We talk differently. Had you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and notice too how when he talked about when he was talking to Mark, how he said he's picked up his pace. Now notice what he says about Sue. He said we laughed, And I asked Sue softly. Notice how he's going to ask Sue softly. How do you feel about our communication? Does it make sense? Very much so, Sue answered. You seem to have a handle on what I'm feeling. And what you say registers. You and I seem to speak the same language. And notice how when he was talking to Sue, he put more feelings into his expressions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as he did that, Sue picked up on it. And she said, yeah, we're communicating good. And so as he talked to each one, when he spoke to Mark, he tried to speak to Mark in a way that was familiar with Mark. He didn't try to use any kind of feeling words, and he talked faster. But when he spoke with Sue, he wanted to communicate in a way that she liked. And so he slowed his pace down, and he spoke with more passion, with more feeling. And so as a result, Mark felt like he was communicating with him well, and Sue felt like she was communicating with her well.
Yep.
And that's just because, you know, he purposely was changing his way he spoke to each one of them. And so he went on to say, he said, good. And, okay, so I'm going back to the book. It says, good, I said. It's important that we learn not only to speak the same language, but also to make sure we mean the same thing with our words. I've run into so many couples who get irritated and upset in their marriage because of such a simple matter as having different definitions for their words. You know, two people can speak Spanish and not mean the same thing. Two people can speak German and not mean the same thing. Mm-hmm. We're sitting here speaking English and using some of the same words, but we might have different meanings for them. Your experiences in life, your mindset, what you intend can give meanings to your words. And that makes plenty of sense once you hear that, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it
does. Even though you use the same word, the meanings behind your word is based on what your experience is. You know, it has a general sense the same because it's the word.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when you use that word, it adds a little bit different things to it based on what you've experienced in life.
Yeah, that's that different dictionary.
Yep, that different dictionary. And that dictionary is coming from what you experienced in life, from your family, maybe on the job, or the high school you went to, the friends you had. All those things make your words have different dictionary. Make your words use a different dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar, but yet different. And so what happens is, now you're trying to talk, and you hear the words that your spouse is using, and you think they mean one thing, and they meant something different.
True.
Because they had a different set of dictionary. They had a different set of definitions to what they were saying. He said, my wife, and I thought this was a good illustration right here, said, my wife might ask, could we stop at the store for a minute on the way home? Could we stop at the store for a minute on the way home, Norm? I'll be a minute. I'll just be a minute. I might take the word minute literally.
Yeah.
Better not. He said,
oh, yeah.
The experience have taught me we're talking about a 15 to 20 minutes.
Right. At least.
Yeah. I'm sure y'all have noticed something like that too. You know, a minute doesn't necessarily mean a minute, right?
Right.
And so, but if you take it literally, you're talking about 60 seconds.
Right.
But when she says, I'm going to be there for just, it's only going to take a minute, she's not saying it's only going to take 60 seconds.
Right.
She's
right.
Saying what? She's saying what? When she says it's going to be a minute, what is she trying to say?
She's trying to say, don't wait on me. Because, you know, she's going to be there until she get through.
Okay. Well, what do you think she's trying to say, Gay, when she says, it's only going to be a minute?
Well, her minute might be 30, 40. And
right.
His minute. his minute, man, he might take a literally. She's going to be there a minute.
Right. And I think
I think she's just telling them just be patient.
Uh-huh. Okay, just be patient. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when I saw that, you know, the thing that came to my mind is she's saying it's not going to be long.
Yeah.
I'm just going in to just get something and come right out. You know, I'm only going to be a minute. I'm just going in and I'm coming right out.
Right.
So she's saying she's going to do something like that versus maybe if she was going shopping for clothing. If she was going shopping for a new dress, do you think she would say that she's only going to be gone a minute?
Mm-mm. I think any time a woman say a minute and they're going into a store, they just telling you that because they got to get in there.
Oh, they're just telling you to get in because they got to get in there. Okay.
They got to get in there. It's going to be more than a minute. That's just how we are.
Right.
Well, I know these younger people now, they use it in a different way. They're like, say, like Melinda, sometimes I'll be talking to her, and she'll say, it's going to be a minute before I get there.
She meant
it. Yeah, and that means don't sit around and think she's going to be there no time soon.
Right, okay. Yeah, so she's using that word minute in a totally different way.
Right.
From the way this lady's using it.
Yeah.
And both of them are using the same word, minute.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And literally a minute means 60 seconds.
Right.
So what they mean by that, but what they mean by that with that term is something totally different.
Yeah.
And that's what he's saying happens in marriage. We're using those words, but we mean something totally different when we use them. So he went on to say they smiled and nodded. Mark, has whoever said to you, could I talk to you for a minute about something? And you said yes, assuming she meant a minute. But you're still discussing the issue 30 minutes later. He said they looked amazed. And Mark spoke up quickly. Tuesday night, that very thing happened. Sue wondered why I was getting upset. Sue broke in. Well, it was important. Did it matter how long it went on? You agree we needed to talk about it, and I had felt that way for some time. So you see, they were having this conversation, and the frustration was coming from the fact that, you know, Mark went into the conversation thinking that it was going to be a real quick conversation, right?
Yeah.
Because he said, well, I got something to talk to you about for a minute. So he went on talking, you know, thinking, okay, well, it's just going to be, he's thinking it's going to be a quick conversation. But I think Sue might have been thinking more like what you were saying your daughter was saying, Steve, you know, it's going to take a little while.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so one of them going into the conversation thinking it's going to be a quick conversation, and then the other one going into the conversation thinking, okay, well, we're going to be here for a minute. We're going to be sitting here talking for a little while.
Yep.
And now 30 minutes has passed, and Mark is getting frustrated because he's thinking, wait a minute. I thought this was going to be a quick conversation.
Yep.
And Sue's thinking, I don't understand why you're getting frustrated. This is something we need to talk about. So why are you getting frustrated?
Yeah.
But it makes sense where the frustration can come in because they're using their words totally different.
Right.
And where if they would have been on the same page, if they both, let's just say that Sue was thinking a 45-minute conversation. If that's what she really meant, she said to Mark, well, Mark, we need to sit down and talk. It's going to take about 45 minutes for us to talk. If she had said that from the offset and Mark said, okay, well, fine, I got 45 minutes. We can talk. Do you think Mark would have started getting frustrated at the 30-minute point?
No.
No.
No, he wouldn't have gotten frustrated because he knew, okay, she said it was going to be a while.
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking 30 minutes, and it's not a problem for him because that's what he's expecting.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was expecting something real short and quick and it's still going on for 30 minutes, now he's frustrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what we do in marriages all the time. And you know, and we know this is true, but sometimes we hadn't really thought about it the way he begins to explain it now.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully as we go through this, you know, it'll help us to really start thinking about it so it can end some of that frustration that we feel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and let me speed up. It says, Sue replied with a bit more feeling, but often I feel you have a mindset, you have your mind, says, but often I feel you have set a time limit on our conversation. I almost sense that you're impatient and want to get to the bottom line. You don't want to hear all of my reasons or feelings. And notice that word again there, those feelings. Because
mm-hmm.
you're a feeling-oriented person. He said, in fact, I wish you would share more details with me. He says, I wear a new outfit and ask you how it looks. And all you say is, it looks fine. So what's fine mean anyway? You say fine for everything. Can't you tell me? It says, can't you tell me any more about how you feel about it? And so Sue's looking for what?
Conversation.
Yeah, she's looking for some conversation. She's looking for some feeling. She wants to hear how he feels about that dress, doesn't she?
Yeah.
But the only thing he's saying is fine. And so they're talking to one another, but not with the same language.
Yeah. She wanted to hear compliments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it said, Mark looked at me, rolled his eyes, then turned to Sue and said loudly, but I said it looked fine. What else do you want to hear? I interrupted and said, Mark, on a scale of 0 to 10, with zero meaning it looks terrible, like it's out of the rag pile, and a 10 meaning it's super, it's outstanding, where does the word fine fall? Mark said, it's somewhere between an 8 and a 10. Sue looked surprised and blurted out, well, how would I know that? That's the first I've ever heard that fine had any meaning at all. Now, do you think Sue had a legitimate point there?
Yeah, I think she did.
Yeah,
because Mark is saying fine, and so when Mark says fine, he thinks Sue understands exactly what she's saying, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Right, because her definition of fine is something different.
Yeah, and so he thinks she understands what he's saying, but she doesn't. And so they're using she understands the word fine, but they have different meanings for it.
Yep.
He says, this is what I mean, I interrupted, when I say you need to define your words. Mark, if you couldn't use the word fine and had to give a 3-line description of the dress Sue is wearing, what would you say? He thought a few seconds and then said, well, I like it. The colors look good. The dress looks like you, and I like some of the details around the waist. It fits well, and I like the curves. It just seems to look like you, and the style is flashy. I turned to Sue. So how do you feel about Mark's response? Yeah, she smiled. Now that I understand, that really feels good. He really seemed to notice, and I enjoyed hearing his description.
Yeah.
And so, see, when he added all those words, he had to add all those words
mm-hmm.
in order to speak the language that Sue that registered with Sue.
Right.
If he didn't say it that way, it didn't register with Sue the way he thought it would. And so he's frustrated because he's thinking, well, Sue should understand what I did. He's thinking that Sue should understand all of this based
yep.
on him saying the word fine. And Sue's thinking, you know, I don't know what he means when he says that.
Yeah.
So they're speaking these different languages. It says, Mark jumped in and said, well, I could do that. But when I'm with some of my other friends and say fine, we know what we mean. And that's because they speak the same language, right?
Yeah.
And he said, and then it goes on to say, it says, I can understand that, Mark, I continued. When you're with them, you speak the same language. But when you're with Sue, you need to speak her language. She wants more detail, more description, and more adjectives. That's what registers with her. And so it's just a totally different way of speaking. And so what Mark is trying to do is he's trying to speak with Sue the same way he speaks with his buddies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when he speaks with his buddies, they're able to go back and forth and understand each other because they're speaking the same language. But then when he speaks to Sue, he can't do that because Sue doesn't speak that language that his buddies speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got to change up when he's talking to Sue to get her to understand what he's saying. And then he went on to say, he said, most men edit what they say to their wives. They think of, they think of that. Wait, hold on. It says most men edit. It says most men edit what they say to their wives. They think of details and decide, now that's not important. She wouldn't be interested in that. Anytime you think something isn't important or she wouldn't be interested, she probably is.
Yeah.
And he closed out by saying, this is a good example of what I mean by speaking the other person's language.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just used that young couple to try to show us how all the time we're talking to each other, but we're not using the same language.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I can imagine over time you get better at understanding each other's language because you kind of see it, but you never really thought about it as much as hopefully you start thinking about it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so like what happens a lot of times in marriage, the longer you're married, you know, you start picking up on things in kind of a hit-and-miss way.
Yeah.
You're picking up on things, but you don't really understand why it's happening that way, and it takes you forever to pick up on these things because, you know, you don't really know what's going on. You just find out, like in my case, with me and Sabrina, when we're getting ready to go somewhere, and I say, okay, I'm ready to go, and so I say, okay, I'm ready to go. So, like, when we're getting ready to go to church, and I said, okay, let's go. I'm ready to go. What I notice is Sabrina won't move toward the door. She'll stay right where she's at. She's not going to move to the door when I say, okay, I've got everything. I'm ready to go. What she's going to do is she's going to wait for me to walk out the door. And once I walk out the door, then she's going to start heading for the door. Because what she's learned over the years is, I say all the time, okay, I've got everything, I'm ready to go. And it still might be another 2, 3, 5 minutes before I walk out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's learned that. And so just the fact that I say, okay, I'm ready, that doesn't mean anything. Because
yeah.
She knows in my language, me saying I'm ready doesn't really mean I'm walking out the door. And so she won't make a move out the door. And I remember very vividly the first time I realized she was doing that. I said, well, why aren't you getting ready to head out the door? I said, we're ready. She said, because you're not getting ready to leave. she said, it'll be another 5 minutes before we leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so we learn these things about our spouse along the way. But like I said, we just never, you know, the problem comes sometimes is we got to purposely say, okay, we need to start learning these things. You know, you've been doing it already, but now you got to really make a conscious effort to say, well, let's really learn what we mean by each other's words.
Yeah.
You know, let's see if we really speak in different languages. You know, what the thing you got to do is you got to really make an effort to say, okay, let's see how we can learn each other's language. You got to really put forth that effort. All right, well, any comments you have, because we're going to end it with that. Next week we'll finish up that chapter. But any comments on that about speaking each other's language?
Nope, that's it.
Yeah, okay. Something that takes time.
Yeah, it takes time. It takes time to learn a new language. And But if you're going to learn that new language, you got to put forth the effort.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then, but the problem with most couples is they speak a different foreign language and they don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, a lot of times, they're not even putting forth that effort to learn their spouse's language because they don't even know that's a concept that they need to do.
Right.
So they're not even trying to learn their language because they don't realize that, hey, she's speaking a different language from me or he's speaking a different language from me. All right, and so that's the call for tonight. And so make sure you go ahead and read chapter 5 again because he's got some more illustrations in there about speaking a foreign language. I only went over one of them, but he's got two others in there. And I think it'll help drive home the point even better.
Okay.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and let everybody say good night, and then we'll see you on the call next week.
All right, good night.
All right, good night.
All right, good night.